In theory, it sounds fine. Remove all of your clothing, the sign says. No swimming costumes allowed. That's reasonable, that's a thing people do. But then reality sets in. This is a mixed sauna. You're going to be completely naked in public. You're going to be letting it all hang out, not just with total strangers, but with people you actually know. People you'd figured would probably never see you in all your birthday suited glory. And yet, this is something that people do all over the world. They nude up for saunas in Sweden. They strip down for onsens in Japan. They go naked for a bath in Russia, and they take their clothes off for pretty much everything in Germany. As a visitor, you have to comply. Is everybody actually okay with this? Hi, I'm Ben Groundwater, and you're listening to Flight of Fancy, the traveller.com.au podcast. Today, we're talking about getting nude when you're overseas. In which countries should you expect to do this? How do you know you're actually supposed to strip off at all? And what's it like when you do? Joining me to discuss this are two people from completely different ends of the public nudity spectrum. First up, she's one of Australia's best-known travel writers, and someone whose strong German heritage has led to her being naked in pretty much every place she's ever been to, Uta Jonker.
Hi, Ben.
Hi, Uta. Also with us today, he's a traveller.com.au writer who you would expect that, in times of public nudity, has to lie back and think of England, Keith Austin.
Hey, g'day.
Hi, Keith. How are you?
I'm good, mate. Thank you.
Now, Keith, you're English. Surely you're uncomfortable being nude in public?
Well, originally English.
Originally, I'm now Australian,
okay.
Of course, all right.
As you can tell from the accent.
Okay.
I actually don't mind it.
Yeah?
I'm happy to get my kit off pretty much anywhere.
Right. Can you remember the first time that you were sort of asked to do this in a public place?
Yes. It was. I was working on a newspaper in East London, mm-hmm. and I interviewed the mayor.
Right.
Just as, you know, for a profile piece.
Not the start of the story I was expecting.
No. And I was just asking him what he did to relax. And he said, oh, you know, I go to a Turkish bath over in Limehouse.
Yeah.
Really? He said, oh, yeah, you should come down. And I thought, why not? So got down there and one Saturday morning and essentially there's the mayor. In all his glory. But also there was a couple of councillors, local playwright,
yeah,
a local boxer.
Right.
And I thought, this is a good place to come if you want to make contacts. Not contact, contacts.
Important.
Very important distinction. Basically I went for... A couple of years after that, I used to go every...
Yeah. So you enjoyed it?
Every Saturday. We had this thing, you form teams and you do a massage called a Schmeitz.
Mm-hmm.
Essentially, it's a Turkish bath, but it's a very Jewish tradition.
Yeah.
Obviously, the words are Yiddish. And you get these big raffia brushes. And
yeah. What does a Schmeitz involve?
It involves this big raffia brush with lots of soap and
yep.
suds and
okay.
and it's just used as like a big loofah, I suppose. And
yep.
you go into the hot room and you lie down, someone gives you a massage, this
is it a large mustachioed Turkish man administering this?
No, it's just your mates.
Oh, right, okay.
Yeah, it's...
All right.
There are no staff.
I've been to a bath in Turkey, and,
yeah.
it's usually a staff member who...
No. This was just all local people. There were
right.
no staff members.
Yeah.
I took a good friend down after that, it was good fun. And so, I'd have been, I suppose, in my early 20s then.
Yeah.
So, you know, having got naked in front of the mayor of Tower Hamlets. After that, anything else was, you know...
Right. Small change.
Small change, easy.
Now, Uta, I get the feeling that nudity is not a big deal for you.
No, it's... Germans are fairly comfortable with nudity.
Yeah.
They like to do lots of things in the nude.
Mm-hmm.
It's Freikörperkultur. You know, there's even an official name for it.
Of course there is.
You know, basically naked body culture.
Right.
So
is this a long-standing tradition? How did it start, or has it just always been there in Germany?
It's just the way it is, Ben. Well, I mean, you know, you're born naked.
Yeah.
You know,
this
it's like
true.
Everything else is sort of cluttered on later.
Mm-hmm.
But so... I never really thought about it as a thing. And then
right.
when I went to uni, my group of friends, you know, we'd go for away for the weekend and, you know, have naked spa baths together and stuff. And so I was just like, oh, yeah, everyone's normal. And then
yep.
one day someone who wasn't in my group of friends at uni went, are you part of that naked gang? I was like, there's a gang and you're not naked. But it's not really an Australian thing, is it?
It's not. I was going to ask this. I feel like Australians are quite prudish. You know, we like to think of ourselves as being, you know, very worldly and kind of larrikins who are up for anything. But when it comes to stripping down in public around your friends, particularly, and colleagues, that's just not a thing we do at all, is it?
I think it's really kind of weird because we're all very comfortable being at the beach with tiny little strips of lycra, and it's really not that much difference, you know, whether you have the lycra on or off, I think. And I think that's partly where it's something linked to Australian egalitarianism, because, you know, you can't, everyone's the same at the beach, you know, we're all flabby or wobbly or whatever, and you can't kowtow to anyone once you've seen their wobbly bits. Yeah, you know.
I think probably the first place that travellers are likely to encounter this need to take off their clothes is going to be a bathhouse. But I've always found that there's sort of different etiquette rules in different countries for their bathhouses. How do you kind of figure out what you're supposed to do when you get to these places?
Well, the first time I went to an onsen in Japan, mm-hmm. in Tokyo a few years ago, I seriously had absolutely no idea what to do.
Yeah, you know, and there's a complex set of
yeah. I didn't know whether rules. To keep the swimmers on or take them off, or I don't know, wear them on my head or whatever. So I just sort of looked around at what everyone else was doing, basically, yeah. and thought, well, he's doing that, so I'll do that. I probably look like a total pervert.
Because the thing,
what's that guy doing? Oh, what's he doing?
Because the thing is, I've always been slightly worried about not being naked when I'm supposed to be naked, but I'm far more worried about being naked when I'm not supposed to be naked. And there's that moment when I first went to an onsen, you go into the sort of changing room that leads into the bathhouse, and you sit down there and you take off all your clothes, and you're about to walk through the door into the bathhouse, and then this moment where you think to yourself, am I supposed to be naked? Am I definitely sure I'm supposed to be naked?
Am I going
to
walk through that door and everyone's going to laugh at me?
Exactly. Everybody else is going to be wearing Speedos, and there's the foreigner walking in without any clothes on.
Yeah. I've never had that moment, but I did have a moment. I think it was probably the first time I went to an onsen too, and in part of my equipment, which, you know, included the shoes for going into the dressing room and mm-hmm. all of that, I had this cloth. And I was like, not big enough to wrap around me. No idea what to do with the cloth, but I'll take it with me because mm-hmm. it may come in handy.
Yep.
And so I wandered in to the room and it's all steamy. And there's two girls who've just gotten out of the pool and are walking back to the dressing room. And their cloths are on their head. Yep. And I'm just standing there going, they're trying to fool me. You're not supposed to put the cloth on
you. Definitely a stitch.
I'm fairly sure you're not supposed to. And of course, in case you're wondering, it's for sitting on.
Right.
Which is very hygienic.
Okay. Because I have seen it used on heads as well.
I have also seen it used on heads.
In the Rottenborough, which are the outdoor onsens, where it's winter and it's very cold outside.
Oh, I've never done it in winter in Japan.
Right, and so you dunk the little cloth into the hot water and then you put it on your head to keep your head warm so you're not losing any heat out of the top of your
head. See, I've seen it for sitting on.
Right, okay. Well, I guess it serves your purpose.
But, you know, well, would you want it to serve a job? I think maybe you have to pick one or the other and go with it.
Most definitely.
I'm off to Japan next week. This is good to know. I'm taking notes here. Yeah.
Well, let's talk onsen etiquette, because I think a lot of Australians go over there and they do get into it. And it's quite difficult because no one generally speaks English in these places.
And I have to say, I'm not... Well, as we've just found out, I'm not sure I'm doing it right. But I'm a bit like Keith. I follow other people. But it seems like you get given a lot of clothing in the beginning for an experience in which you're going to be naked.
This is true. Yeah, you're given a robe and you're given slippers and you're given your little towel type thing.
So it does get kind of confusing.
But it's split men on one side, women on the other, and never do the twain meet in Japanese bathhouses. And as far as I can tell, you go into the little changing room, you take all of your clothes off, you take your little towel, and you go into a sort of initial washing area, which you're expected to spend a long time in getting yourself clean before you get into the actual bath itself. To wander straight into the bath is a huge faux pas.
No, you cannot be dry when you go into the pool. You have to be wet to show you have washed yourself and you are a clean person, and you're a person it's okay to share water with.
Yeah, and they have these sort of rows of plastic stools, and you sit down on a plastic stool in front of a shower and you grab the shower head and there's soap and shampoo and conditioner and everything, and you sudge yourself up and basically spend a good long time there making a show of being clean before you can eventually get up and then get into the shared bathtub. Is that about it? Am I right?
Yeah, absolutely. I think I've only been twice, and both times, you know, I was totally confused. So, but essentially, yes.
I mean, a more interesting one for me, in a sense, is the saunas of Northern Europe, Germany and also Sweden and Finland, because they're mixed. And so you're naked around men, around women, women around men. Uta, is that a strange thing? I don't know. Obviously, it's not for people in that part of the world, but...
No, although I will tell you one thing that I go to Finland a lot and I have good friends there, and... You know, you just get naked and you go to the sauna and you hang out instead of going to the movies. And that's fine. But one time we were on a driving trip and one of them said, okay, so we're going to drop in and have a coffee with my dad and he's heating up the sauna. And I was suddenly like, I don't know if I'm comfortable with your naked father. And it was weird. That was kind of, I don't know why that was a bit of a game changer.
Why was that the...
I think because I didn't know him. But in the end, he didn't come and join us in the sauna.
Right.
Okay. So he just had coffee with us.
What are there sort of unwritten etiquette rules when it comes to those saunas in places like that?
I would have, at a guess, said, you know, no casual touching. But I've sort of piled in of 16 of us in a sauna that really only fitted 8. And we just all rubbed along, literally, you know.
Yeah. Surely there's a no gawking sort of rule, isn't there?
Yeah. I mean, I think that's... it's general casual friend etiquette. I actually took an English friend with me to Finland one time who also knew my Finnish friends. And before we were going into the sauna, she was like, I'm really not comfortable with this. And I said, well, you don't have to do it. And she was like, no, I want to. And then sort of we went and we did a few things and she went, oh, I'm actually going to be fine. And I said, why? And she goes, well, I've just realized I have to take my glasses off because they'll steam up. And I'm like, and? And she goes, well, if I can't see them naked, I'm not worried about them seeing me naked, which seemed to make no sense to me, but it worked.
Absolutely
for her.
None. Yeah. Okay. Well, that works. I've always found the most bizarre thing for me is being naked. Like, I don't mind being naked in front of strangers. That's no problem for me. But when you're getting naked in front of your friends or your colleagues that you've never been naked in front of before, that's kind of a, I don't know. I went on a journalist trip to Austria recently, and there's basically a sauna theme park in a place called Solden called Aquadome. And basically they have all these saunas. They have about 20 different saunas. Some of them are done up like sort of barnyard country style ones, and then you have your really technical modern new ones, and then there's like a glacier room, and then there's a salt bath. But we got there, and so I was travelling with three male journalists and a female journalist, and we got there and suddenly realised that all of us were expected to take our clothes off in front of each other and just go off into the sauna. And we're a bunch of Anglos, and we just went, let's go to the bar for a while. So we went up to the bar, and we had a few drinks, a bit of Dutch courage, and the female journalist was like, well, I'm tapping out straight away. There's no way I'm wandering around nude with you guys. And then another journalist said to me, look, I'm going to go in, but I don't want to see any of you guys in there. And I was like, well, there's 20 saunas, so I think we should be okay. So he went in first, and then I went in, took all my clothes off, put on a little robe, walked around for a while, thought, you know, this random sauna looks good to me. Took my robe off, hung it on the hook, opened up the door, and there's this other journalist sitting in that one, just looking at me, shaking his head, going, get out.
I see, I wonder whether it is that thing. When everyone else is comfortable, I think it's quite easy to feel comfortable.
Yeah.
You know, if everyone else is just treating this like an ordinary thing, and so it's knowing that you were with people who were also not comfortable with the experience.
That's it, yeah. And it's just getting used to that thing, I think, and that initial barrier. So that other journalist got up and walked straight out and went to a different sauna, and so I sat down in that sauna for a while, and, you know, it was quite nice. I thought, well, I'll switch and try a different one. I decided to go to the salt bath, so I put my robe back on, went up to the salt bath, took my robe off, turned around the corner into the salt bath.
Oh, no.
Of course.
The same guy there.
He's and like, he's like,
are you kidding me?
Following me.
Yeah. Yeah, that was a little creepy. But one of the interesting things that they had there, which I'd never seen before, is a thing called an infusion, which, Uta, you may have seen before, where you have a sauna meister, who's the guy who runs the sauna, who goes into the sauna, and there were about 40 people, naked people, crowded into this sauna, and basically he puts some sort of scented oil onto the rocks, and so it sort of makes an interesting smell, and he has a towel, and he uses the towel to sort of flick bits of air, hot air at people, and you put your arms up in the air, and then it's a whole show, and it went on for about half an hour, and everyone applauded at the end for the great job that the saunameister had done.
Well, that takes me back to, as I mentioned earlier, in Turkish bath, this Schmeitz thing with the raffia brush.
Yeah.
Part of the technique with the raffia brush is you use it up in the air, you know, to create heat.
Right, okay.
In a particular spot.
Yeah.
you know, and it wasn't a skill that you acquired
from
doing that. So it's nice to know that 30-odd years ago, I was actually
on the forefront.
Meister.
Yeah, and you didn't even know it.
Or Schmeister.
Well, my favourite ritual in the Turkish bath is when you're having the whole complete scrub down, and it's brutal. Like, they're taking off 8 layers of skin.
Yeah.
And you're kind of like, I wash myself at least once every day. How can I possibly have that much dirt rolling off me? But, of course, it's your skin. Mm-hmm. But there's the bit where they fill the pillowcase with the bubbles and they run it over you.
It's
and
so
that
good.
Is, I mean, who the hell came up with that idea in the first place? Whoever it is, they were
so
great.
So talk us through it. What happens at a Turkish bath?
I don't know. I bliss out 2 seconds. But there's, you lie down on the heated tiles.
Yeah.
They come with the black soap first, yes. Yeah. And they lather you all up with the black soap. And then they get the soft loofah and they loofah you with that. And then they get the hard loofah. That's the next bit, I think.
Yeah.
And then that's
and
the bit.
It's a pretty vigorous sort of
It's like basically
procedure.
Sandpaper. Think a coarse grain sandpaper and that's being rubbed over you. And you're lying there and you're kind of going, yeah, back's fine. Yeah. Legs are fine. Don't lift up the inside of my arm because that's going to, you know. But you just get through it because they then splash you down.
Yep.
And then comes the bubble-filled pillow. And that's a really good bit. And by then I'm
it's
actually
a difficult thing to describe, actually, isn't it? I mean, bubble-filled pillow is about as good as you can get. It's suds that they manage to, I don't know, how
they
do
it. How they fill
a
pillowcase with it? Yeah. How can you get that many suds together? And it's just incredibly soft because there's no pressure because suds have no weight. That's by then I'm
then
usually asleep.
There's a lot of dousing in water.
Oh, yeah, that's the, like, not a bucket, but sort of a big ladle full of water. And after the third one, you're going, yeah, that's enough. And then, oh, God, no, I got more water. It's okay.
And then they sort of push you into a waiting room and you wrap yourself up and lie down and then they come in and ask for a tip. But it's a real cultural experience, isn't it, doing these bathhouse type of things?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. My one in East London, the Turkish bath, was slightly different. It was very much like that. My worst part of it that I hated the most was you came out, had a quick warm shower to get all the suds off you, and then there was a plunge pool.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But it was ice cold plunge pool. But it's one of those things where you dive into it and swim to the other end, hate every moment of it. But when you get out the other end, you go, whoa, that was great.
Yeah.
That was really, really great.
The plunge part of it is actually one of my favourite parts of a real sauna experience. So my first ever proper sauna was in Helsinki, and someone took me to the Helsinki Sauna Society, which is on the outskirts of town and has a whole range of saunas and a lake. So, you know, you have your sauna, then you run down the lake, except it was like, I don't know, depth of winter, you know, which in Finland is 4 days after the 5th of July. And so the run down the pier, you're already cooling off. But then another time I went with my Finnish friends to St. Petersburg, and one of them had said, oh, there's a really traditional Russian sauna there. Mm-hmm. And so two of us decided to go. And we went, and it was in this crumbling, you know, when you're driving through the part of town, you're going, we're in the Badlands now.
Yeah.
It was there, and we went in, and so no one spoke a word of English, but, you know, we managed to do the buying the ticket, and then we were going, do you have towels? And we're miming towels, and they were kind of like looking at us like, no, you idiots, you bring your own towels. And we're going, okay, this is going to be a fun experience. And they had a tiny little cabin that was the sauna. So we hopped in there and there were 3 or 4 Russian grandmothers there. You know, your classic babushka, you know, grey hair, big women, you know, like hands that have been digging in potato fields all their life, you know. And sort of they're sitting over there. And so we said hello to them and sat over here. And I'm just chatting to my friend. And next thing you know, there's this whack. And I sort of turn around. And one of the babushkas has grabbed this whole branch of a birch tree, which they just have sitting around in the sauna, and is whacking me with it. And I'm like, hello. And she's like grinning at me going, whack, whack. And I'm going, okay, it's a Russian sauna tradition. I can get with this. So I was like, oh, yeah, good whacking. Yeah, she whacks me for a while and that's okay. And then I went and got the other one and offered to whack her. And she's just like, oh, no, you silly foreigner. So I was going, okay, so there's got to be the plunge pool because it's a proper sauna. And so I went out looking for the plunge pool and I'm not quite sure whether something had happened to the old plunge pool, but they had gotten like a skip and filled it with water and put a little step ladder that you had to climb up the step ladder and jump in the water in the skip and then climb out again. It was very...
classy.
Rustic. Yeah. Was
the Rusty.
Rusty, yeah. That's right.
This podcast is brought to you by Intrepid Travel. To be intrepid, you need to be open, but thankfully not naked. With Intrepid, you'll be able to experience a destination the way the locals do. Saunas and ice baths in Finland, onsens in Japan, Turkish baths in Istanbul. Our local guys will get you to the heart of the culture in no time. Find out more at intrepidtravel.com.
I'm here with Uta Jonker and Keith Austin, and we're talking all about getting naked overseas. It's those moments of complete confusion that really amuse me. I always go to bathhouses whenever I'm in a country that does that sort of thing, and I always have absolutely no idea what I'm doing. And that's kind of part of the fun. I had a Russian bathhouse experience as well when I was in St. Petersburg. And I was there with my girlfriend at the time, and so she went off into the female part and I went off into the male part. And I was completely confused. I took all my clothes off thinking, all right, I think this is what I do. Walked inside, and the first thing I saw was a man kneeling on all fours on the ground and another guy on top of him scrubbing his back with a sponge. And I was just thinking, I've never seen anything like this before.
You were thinking, do I join a queue?
Yeah, I don't know. And there's someone getting a massage over in the corner. So I thought, well, I'll go to the sauna. I know that's what you do. And so I walked in the sauna, and I was the only one in the sauna, and I just sort of sat there for a while. And I thought, this is actually fine. You know, this is no problem. I don't see what people are complaining about. And about 10 minutes later, a Russian guy walked in to also have a sauna, and he switched it on, which made a fair amount of difference. And he then stood up in the middle of the room with his towel and sort of whirled it about his head to move the air around. And all of a sudden, I was like, oh, my God, get me out of here. This is horrendous. But I had my birch branch, and I hit myself with my birch branch. And then I went back out into the main bit and got a beer and a little snack, and that seemed like the kind of thing you do.
Oh, yeah, the thing about, you know, snacks when you go to the bathhouse, that's the only bit I find a bit confusing because right. I don't get hungry.
Oh, really?
I'm sitting there in a hot room.
You get thirsty though, right?
Oh, yeah, very thirsty. Yeah. But jjimbangs in Korea, what they tend to do is they have all the saunas, which are gender divided, and then they have this huge area in the middle where you throw on your pajamas. And so you go as a family and you go, okay, we'll meet you in 90 minutes. And then you come in the middle and you have beer and little snacky things and maybe watch some TV.
Yeah. Those Korean bathhouses, there's like an entire city in there, isn't there?
They're huge.
There's barbers and there's cinemas. And
they're very big on having the walls lined with different types of stone and stuff, each yep. one of which yep. is supposed to have different healing properties.
Yeah. To come back briefly to my Russian bathhouse experience, I finished up my herrings and my beer and went down to meet my girlfriend. And I got down and she was waiting there for me, and she just had this look on her face of sheer embarrassment mixed with terror. And I said to her, how did you go? And she was like, you wouldn't believe what happened. So she had this sort of fear throughout her life of being locked in a sauna and sort of, you know, being boiled to death, essentially. And so she went into this bathhouse, and she went to go into the sauna, and she went to open the door, and the door wouldn't open. And she peered inside, and she could see a whole lot of women who were already in there. And she was like, well, this is kind of weird. And so she kept tugging on the door, and she couldn't open it. And she thought, oh, my God, they're locked in there.
So she wanted to rescue them.
She did, yeah. So she ran out to get the attendant to say, look, these women are locked in the sauna. And the attendant didn't speak a word of English and just sort of looked at her like, you're insane. And so she's like, forget it. And so she ran back in, and she was like trying to pull open the door, and she sort of had her foot on the wall and was trying to get this door open. And like, you know, starting to panic and looking inside and seeing if they're boiling to death yet. And she ran and grabbed the woman out the front again and was sort of basically screaming at her at this point to come and help these people. And the woman just sort of shrugged her shoulders, went, yeah, all right, okay, and walked in to help her out and saw what was happening and used her little swipe card to swipe next to the sauna and swing open the door and looked at my girlfriend like, you can go in now if you want. And she was absolutely mortified and walked straight out.
I was about to say, and then she put on her clothing and left and waited for you.
Yeah, that's right. So where did all this start? Where does naked bathing... It was a thing like in Roman times.
Blame it on the Romans. What
have the Romans done for us?
Precisely. No, because this is how it starts, but this is also why the tradition continues for a long time, because before you have indoor plumbing,
yeah.
you know, bathing is quite a difficult thing to do. So yeah. the Romans had these big public baths and, mm-hmm. and you know, you tended to go there, and it was a bit of a social occasion where you would catch up with your peers, and they had different temperatures as well. So they had the hot and the temperate.
These were natural hot springs, I guess, were they? Or
They wouldn't all have been.
Yeah, okay.
So they
actually,
had...
I've seen some where they've lit fires underneath to heat the water. Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
And so, you know, the Romans, I kind of love it. They built big colosseums to sort of have gladiator fights, and they built big temples to keep the gods happy, and then they built big bars because doesn't everyone love sitting in warm water? You know.
And there are still Roman-style bars around that are being used. I know in Budapest there's several.
Exactly. So yeah. It's you can call it a cultural and historic experience.
Well, certainly in Bath in England.
Right.
Taking the waters in Bath.
Taking the waters. You can still do that.
Yeah.
And you have the big Roman bath there, obviously. You know, the. But you've also got the hot springs there.
Yeah.
Which still pump stuff out
okay.
these days. So almost next to the old baths, the Roman baths, there's this new thermi bath thing where they pump water up to the rooftop of this new
thing. Okay.
And you sit there overlooking the city of Bath
in a rooftop pool.
Are you expected to wear clothes in that?
Look, as you mentioned right at the start, we English took this Latin nudity thing and refined it.
By putting some shorts on.
Put some shorts on. Seriously.
Yes. Right. Keith, are there places to get naked in Australia?
Yes, there are. There are. Obviously, there are beaches.
Where are all the nude beaches?
There's one in Sydney, isn't there?
Yeah.
There was always one at Mossman, and there's the
one near Camp Cove.
Near Camp Cove, yeah. There's one over there.
Which is a fairly public nude beach, because if you want to walk around South Head, you have to walk straight past it.
You have to go through it, yeah.
Did you say you went for a story? You went to a nudist camp?
For a travel story many, 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 many years ago.
So where was that?
It's up somewhere near Port Stephens. I went up there with my girlfriend and we spent, I think it was 2 dates at this nudist camp.
So you're naked the entire time there?
The entire time, yes.
Is clothing very much
frowned
upon?
Indoors.
Oh, really?
Put our clothes back on. it was...
Does it just feel normal after a while?
It feels... a lot more natural. From the resort itself, you can walk down this sandy track to a beach, which is a nudist beach, but it's also one of these beaches where people drive their four-wheel drive down and go fishing. So when you're walking down there, the two of you, completely naked with a towel over your shoulder, and then a four-wheel drive comes past with a family and 6 kids.
Right.
And you're sort of waving them as they go past, and you know, they're all looking at you.
I take it sun cream is important on a trip like that.
Sun cream. On places you would never think to put sun cream, I have to say. I didn't mind it. My girlfriend was not hugely enthused by the whole thing. I think she said afterwards that unless you've got an allergic reaction to laundry detergent, she's not quite sure why you would not wear clothes.
Were the other people like couples or families or what were there?
A lot of couples there. There were a few, you know, single men. Certainly there was a slightly pervy element to some of it, and you got the feeling that a lot of people weren't there just for, you know,
the pure love of taking their clothes off.
They were there to check out the people who took their clothes off.
Yeah, this idea that everyone who goes to a nudist camp is like an Adonis or anything like that, it's was disproved there. Yeah. There were a lot of people there who looked like melted candles, frankly. So the one thing that we did that was quite funny. Having grown up in England and grown up with the Carry On films and all that sort of stuff, we decided there was a volleyball court.
Right.
So we decided on the last day
this is going.
We had to play volleyball, naked volleyball.
Right.
And no, I wouldn't advise it. If you're diving, you can get some rather nice sand rashes. But it's not.
I found at the Austrian sauna that it felt normal very quickly being naked. For about 5 or 10 minutes, it felt really bizarre and uncomfortable and everything. But it became normal really quickly.
Well, there were parts of it that feel normal at a camp like that. But when you go to dinner in the evening and there's a barbecue on and there's a guy standing there you know, as you mentioned earlier, cooking sausages on a barbecue, and he's naked. And you just look at that and you go, number one, that can't be hygienic. Number
two, that is a terrible idea.
There's a lot of fat spitting around there, mate, you know. And I just sat there and I was just panicked for him.
Yeah,
you know? And you're sitting there on your plastic seat and you're going up to the buffet and getting all your stuff. And everyone, it's that felt quite odd.
Yeah.
Sitting around eating your, you know, dinner, hoping you don't drop a hot sausage in your lap.
Just to finish off, it's been great having you along. What advice would you give to people who've never done this before? I mean, I guess I would say to people, brush up on the etiquette rules of the place that you're going to.
Because if you're following Turkish rituals in Japan, you'll get into a whole heap of trouble.
Exactly.
Find out where the towel goes, people.
What would you say, Uta?
Find out where the towel goes.
Yeah, we're still not actually 100% sure on that, are we? Well, Keith, Uta, thanks very much for joining me. It's been an absolute pleasure.
Thank you.
If you'd like to subscribe to Flight of Fancy, you can find it on iTunes or your favourite podcasting app. And we'll see you next time on Flight of Fancy.